One other, I was reading another site and it said you do have a distant connection to Virginia as well, that your grandmother, I think it was your grandmother's family, yeah, migrated from Virginia.
My grandmother's family did, and also on my father's side, they came, they were some of the last wagons across the Oregon Trail, and my, I think my great-grandmother was born along their immigration route from Virginia, and they... And she named her daughter, who was my grandmother, Lois Virginia. And so that's the story I would hear when I'd ask my grandma Lois how come her middle name's Virginia.
And where in Virginia was that? Do you know?
I don't know exactly where that was. And we might have that written somewhere in the family history. But those also were musical folks. A couple of her uncles were minstrels, traveling minstrels. And then we actually have some sheet music from... you know, some kind of vaudeville or off-Broadway show with her family name on it that has been written.
Well, that's quite a musical tale from both sides of the family, then.
Yeah.
One of the videos that you had posted referred to Grandma Margaret.
Oh, yeah.
And you said she actually financed your start in music.
Yeah, well, she had always had a great love for music. That's my mother's mother, and... she'd always said to my sister and I, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if you learned an instrument? And neither of us were that successful at it as kids. But she always said, oh, I wish you could be musicians. And she passed away, about 12 years ago. And she left us each a little money. And I decided to spend it on what I considered partly her dream, too, which would be to finance these records. So my first three records were financed by my grandmother, Margaret. So I think it was a good decision.
Where I come from, tough times came with the land. But still, after all of these years, I can't understand. Now I've got to follow those tracks. I know I can find my way back, but oh, it's hard. Oh, Lord, it's hard. Just when you think you finally got things going right, ghosts from your past creep up and haunt you at night. Calling you there, and oh, it's hard. Oh, Lord, it's hard, but I'm going
I noticed also that you have a background as a history teacher. That was your life prior to being a musician. What was your particular area of interest?
It was U.S. history. And so for eighth graders, which means in California, eighth graders study from about just sort of pre-American Revolution to Reconstruction, to the end of the Civil War, a little window in time there. So that's mostly what I taught. And I would say it definitely kind of worked well with some of the songs I was writing and working on, and having that teaching experience, I tell you, it really does help when you have to get up in front of a crowd.
But I kind of thought it may have fit into some of the themes you chose for your music, or the songs you wrote as well. There's some social history there. There's Indian Givers. You had the Modoc Wars up in Northern California, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, you know your stuff.
Yeah, I used to read a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, and I think there are some reservations today, so you probably ran into a number of Native Americans growing up. Is that?
Yeah, we had a big population of Achimali, Atsugewi, and Wintun families, Pit Rivers, they're called Achimali, Atsugewi, where I grew up. So there was it wasn't an official reservation. It was more of a squatters' camp, but it had been long established. It was actually owned by a power company, but natives had been living there for a long time, and it's called Smith Camp. It was right down the road. So, yeah, we had a really high population of California natives where I grew up. And then on my mother's side, my mother is sort of from a long line of Indian adoptions. She herself and her mother were both Indian children adopted out into non-Indian families, which was sort of part of government policy for quite a bit of time if they couldn't locate the father or could nail down some kind of economic hardships or things like that. So, you know, it was one of these assimilation-type programs. So she's actually Assiniboine Sioux, so we had a lot of Indian background growing up.
And they were... I guess what I'm going to say is that the songs that I've heard, they kind of range a bit in theme from personal perspectives, like I would say Dishes, The Coyote, maybe on your recent album. And you choose some characters, say in Songs for Claire or My Demolition Man, and then
yeah.
Social Commentary, the Ballad for the Gulf of Mexico, for example. And Indian Giver is kind of a history and even religious spiritual themes like My Golden Bull.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a wide range of themes for your songwriting. How do you settle on or identify a theme for a song?
That's a good question. I think it just has to kind of hit me. That Ballad for the Gulf of Mexico, that was, of course, written during that whole big drama when the spill happened. And I was actually on tour in England, and it just felt really strange to me to be away from home when that was going on. And so that's when I wrote that song, I think maybe in an effort to be there in a sense.
Goddamn our gas-guzzling cars. Goddamn the oil wars. Talking about war, let's talk about the war on the working man. 'Cause the mills shut down, mines shut down, loggers out of work, and factories move to foreign ground. I don't know what we'll do. Sell my boat, don't know who to. No. Cry murder, foul murder for the Gulf of Mexico. We're like the pelicans, the ones weighed down are the ones left behind, soaking in rich man's mess and rich man's lies. I sit here arms, two legs and two feet. Doesn't feel like they're there. Doesn't feel like anywhere. Crime, murder, foul murder for the Gulf of Mexico. Tell of a honky tonk full of drunk shrimpers in oil barren hell, and I'm tending bar. And them CEOs, CFOs, and everyone who said we gotta keep up the flow, I'll serve them up a tall barrel of crude. Watch them drink it down. Oh, plant a rose of Jericho. Cry murder, foul murder for the Gulf of Mexico. Cry murder, foul murder for the Gulf of Mexico.
You know, everything has a story behind it, and I tend to be a little bit of a storyteller, which you might get the idea of as I'm getting verbose on you here. But
oh, no.
I like to talk about the backgrounds of my songs between songs during the shows, and that seems to be part of what I do.
And on Indian Giver, was that based on individuals you knew? Or?
Well, that was a song I sort of wrote from my mother, sharing with her some perspectives on her background and the way we use terms like Indian Giver and Indian Summer and what they mean. And essentially, you know, an Indian Giver is someone who's not a real giver. Indian Summer is a summer that's not a real summer. And so what's an Indian is someone who's not a real Indian, and that's kind of what the government was trying to create with these forced adoptions or forced boarding schools and things like that, to create non-Indians out of Indians is the actual term they used. So I guess it's a commentary on all that.
Well, that's one of my favorite songs on the record, so I had to ask about that one.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I like performing that one, too.
It's an Indian summer, 'cause summer it's not. Though the there's an answer to the riddle, go and ask the old man. If that's Indian summer, what's Indian land? Got a lot to learn, 'cause the people are gone and the village is burned. Say maybe there's a chance we'll get back someday, but the man.
Hi, this is Rita Hosking. Life's too short for ordinary music, which is why you're listening to WTJU Charlottesville, the sound choice in Central Virginia.